welcome to Garden Fork Radio. Here with Rick and Eric, we're going to talk about microphones, hissing sounds, audio glitches, and everything that isn't working with our computers today.
Good morning, Eric. How are you, my friend?
Man, we've been talking for 20 minutes trying to fix this phone call.
Yeah, I swear. I think somehow I've got my the microphone on my computer turned on, as well as the auxiliary microphone that Garden Fork Radio and the contributions to Garden Fork Radio paid for to help us up our quality. And it gives us sort of a background hiss. It sounds like we're going to the sun or something.
Yeah, we recorded a whole show the other day, and I went to edit it, and the noise was just awful. So I even went out and ordered a new microphone myself, and this is the first using. It is the, where's the box? It's a Shure SM58, which is a concert microphone. It's for vocals. You'll see them if you go to a club and they're playing. There's probably SM58s on the mic stands. Like, I know what I'm talking about here. but I found this very helpful audio website written by some guy with, you know, some guy's audio blog, and he compared the podcasting microphone that we've been using, which is the Audio Technica 2100, which is, you know, $50 microphone, with the SM58, which is built specifically for voice. And it's $100 versus $50. And I'm like, you know, I want this to sound better. I'm listening to other podcasts and they all sound pretty good. And I think ours doesn't sound as good. So I'm using that microphone today. So if you want to let me know how it sounds, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. And we'll see what happens here. Rick, stop clicking things because the audio sounds pretty good right now.
Okay. Well, could you hear me clicking something?
Yeah.
It's got to be. On the okay, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Casey's gonna email us, so
yeah, help us, Casey.
Or the other gentleman whose name
help I'm us Obi-Wan Casey. Yeah. You're our only hope.
So all you Mac OS people, the onboard microphone on the computer will not shut off even if it's turned off in the sound settings of the operating system.
So I'll just be over here as far away from my computer as I can possibly be. I'll turn it to face the other direction. Maybe that'll help.
And now it's back. Anyway, I wanted to talk really a little bit about the video class I just took from Tim Schmoyer at Video Creators. It was an online class about how to improve your YouTube channel, and it was a big hunk of change. But the Garden Fork Patreon supporters helped with that. And I took this class and I was very skeptical at the beginning of it. And I'm really glad I took it. It's 8 weeks long. We meet once a week for 8 weeks. But there's a lot of homework and interaction on a private Facebook group. And I learned a lot. And I don't know if you've noticed a change in the videos, but the introductions are not nearly as long. The endings are more abrupt now. But this all makes the algorithm happy. If you haven't been getting the Garden Fork video showing up on your YouTube homepage, it's because the algorithm doesn't think you want to watch them. So next to the subscribe button in YouTube, there's a bell, and no one tells you what that thing is. But if you want to get a notification that Garden Fork has a new video out, you have to click the notification icon, which is what that bell is.
Ah, see, and I thought it was just kind of like Long John Silver's. If you enjoyed your meal, you ring the bell as you go out the door.
Yeah, that's the problem. The Garden Fork audience is older and doesn't necessarily notice or realize intuitively that they need to click the bell icon. And the bell icon means I want notifications from this creator, basically. Mm. So, but I really enjoyed the class. I talked a little bit about it with Will in a previous show. And you'll be seeing some slow and steady improvements in the show.
Excellent.
The other thing I've been doing, I didn't really announce it with the two videos I did, but I thought I did a pizza video about skillet cast iron pizza, and it went over really well. And then I was like, well, let's try making a really quickie pizza dough. So that was the second video. And I've decided to make it a series because this week's video, which we'll post on Saturday, is about using the Instant Pot to make pizza dough.
Oh, now that's interesting.
And that melds two of my interests together. And that will, it'll be interesting because when I put up an Instant Pot video, it gets a lot of eyeballs. And when I put up a pizza video, it gets a lot of eyeballs. And I'm wondering, awesome. Are they the same people or are they different people? So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You got to get some synergy here.
And I was turned on to this recipe by, I think her name is Mackenzie on a YouTube comment, and I accidentally deleted the comment. And so I did delete her name and I was going to thank her in the video. So I don't know if Mackenzie listens to the podcast, but we have to thank her for this.
Thank you, Mackenzie, whoever you are.
Maybe I even have the name wrong. So here we go. The other thing, Rick and I are going to do a show about depression coming up soon. And right. I think that's something that, is it 10% of the country or 30% of the country has?
It's a lot of, apparently a whole bunch of people, but it's a major problem and people don't talk about it enough. And Eric and I both have had episodes, and I had tried a new treatment, TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation. Wanted to talk about it. That's how you nicknamed me. The I'm now the garden fork lab rat.
Well, you also just tried it, like you tried different yogurt cultures to enhance your microbiome, you know?
Right. And then we find out that not only it takes more than cultures, it takes lots and lots of roughage, yes. Lots of fiber to because it's got to hang around long enough for the biome to absorb some of the new stuff. So it's an evolving science, and I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, and if you're not getting enough fiber in the food you're eating, you can always take fiber pills, you know?
That's true, or a little Metamucil, or you can have
an apple.
An apple will do. you can have a geriatric screwdriver, and that's about 2 inches of vodka and then some water, and put some orange Metamucil in it and drink that.
And Metamucil is basically psyllium fiber, psyllium.
I can't pronounce it.
Right, but it's a natural thing, and your body needs more fiber. So it's not like, I mean, Metamucil people make, you know, fun of it. I'm like, it's important to have. And when I'm traveling, I eat really badly. So I take fiber capsules along with me because I'm going to be eating like rich, greasy foods and not getting the fiber I need. So
that's, yeah, true. And, it helps to get enough and pay attention to how much you're getting. So, and you know, legumes are a great source of fiber. And I love beans, particularly red beans and brown rice.
And lentils. Yay.
And well, I'm not that big on lentils, but I know you are.
Yeah, I like the ones from Goya, the Panadura. I'm ruining the name. Anyway, the grocery store on my corner has a whole aisle of Goya products. And
I love Goya stuff too.
Yeah, I live there.
Yeah, it's really cheap, particularly spices. They don't have a lot of exotic spices, but your everyday spices, they have them in fairly large containers, and per ounce, they're really a good deal.
Yeah, I wonder about seasonings, if it's just kind of hype that they put them in a little jar and they make them really expensive, or I mean, do some of them really cost that much?
They certainly charge that much. Of course, you know, technically cooks will tell you, you need to, throw out your spices every, 3 to 6 months.
Yes.
And buy a new one. So I guess you don't want to buy a really big one, but, maybe my palate's not that refined.
I went to Costco the other day and bought, they had garlic, from, Oregon. And it was a big bag, but it was very inexpensive. And I've just been leery of garlic that's not grown in this country, you know, with the pesticide use and all that.
Oh, yeah.
So I got it, and it was way too much for me, but I gave it to my neighbors. I was just like, hey, I went to Costco. Here, has some garlic. Oh, thank you. You know, so I got the garlic I wanted, and I wasn't stuck with extra that's just going to rot. I just gave it to my neighbors, and that worked really well.
I was reading an article the other day. You know, the big thing now is pre-peeled garlic. It comes in a container, and there'll be a whole bunch of it. And that's almost exclusively grown in China. And I don't trust those those kind of products and what they're going to, you know, the ground they're grown in, the kind of conditions they're grown in, how they're processed, the pesticide and herbicide question. I'm just a little leery of all that.
And the best thing is you can grow garlic in your yard, except if you live in the far south, the southern, the hot, really hot areas of the United States. If you have any bit of winter, you can grow garlic. I have 2 beds of garlic coming up this year, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, wow. Lucky you.
So I have another tangent on Costco and food. I bought, it's the middle of winter, so it's not like our farmer's market in my part of Brooklyn is only a 3-season market. In the winter, it's not there. And I'm like, oh, I'm buying apples, and I made sure they were apples that were grown in the United States. And they're clearly, you know, cold storage apples. And I come home with them, and I put them on the counter, and I realize I'm reading about how our recycling is, we're having problems with recycling now because the countries aren't accepting our recycling, and recycling's just being put in the landfill. And the dozen apples are in this giant clear plastic, looks like a cupcake holder, you know? And it's,
oh, really?
It's like a clamshell lid on it. And I was like, you know, I should just go to a farmer's market. There are farmer's markets that are open in the winter in my area, and I could just buy them in a plastic, just a reusable plastic bag that I have, instead of having this giant piece of plastic that I then have to put in the recycle, and hopefully it gets recycled somewhere. So I've been thinking about the packaging more lately, and I'm making a conscious effort to buy stuff, less stuff that comes in like big clamshell plastic. I'm more toward paper. Like last night, I went to Eataly in Manhattan, big name drop there. I had to go see a friend, but they have some Italian pastas, and some came in plastic and some came in craft paper bags. And I bought the ones in craft paper bags because I thought, okay, I don't need more plastic in my life. So,
sure. You know, the clamshell plastic. So, what's really driving that are the merchants. They want to be able to display it and hang it and keep it secure. And that's kind of a tough nut to crack. But I don't know if you've noticed on a lot of the Amazon purchases, and by the way, you can get a help Garden Fork out if you go to the Garden Fork link and link through there.
Use our Amazon link to shop, yeah.
That's it. But you can get reduced packaging on a lot of products.
I have noticed that where, like, I bought a thumb drive, and usually it would come clad in this giant piece of clear plastic that you need to use a utility knife to cut open. And now it's cardboard, and the thumb drive is held in by a much smaller piece of clear plastic.
Right. And, I had a, it was kind of, I haven't seen it in a while, but when we bought a new TV, it had like a spray in. I almost thought it was, like that mushroom stuff they were experimenting with, but it was a spray in not plastic, but paper, but it form fitted the TV, but it was recyclable, and it was like paper. And I thought, wow, that is so cool.
Yeah. I think, plastic is getting expensive to make, you know, it's an oil based thing, and there's a lot of recycling of paper going on. And also there's forests that they have very fast growing trees to create the paper pulp. I mean, it's not, I'm sure there's still clear-cutting forests for paper, but not for cardboardy packing material paper.
Right. And, it's, cardboard's just almost infinitely recyclable, I think. So, and the Chinese particularly want that to recycle and repackage things with. So that's good. But the plastic, even Garden Fork scientist Tony was saying, we're really kind of eating our feedstock. This will not last forever. And there's a lot of things that oil does that is much more useful to humanity than making plastic doodads that we're going to throw away into a land in a landfill. And petroleum is a very important part of not only the food cycle, but of many drug products that we take.
And yeah.
So you have to think about those things.
We just did a show with our Garden Fork scientist, Tony, who is also a Patreon supporter, much like Rick. Big plug there.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
But if you go back 3 or 4 or 5 shows in the list here, you will find that. So I've been getting some really fun feedback on the pizza videos, and I'm gonna make myself do it, but Noreen from Noreen's Kitchen, the YouTube channel, really knows a lot about baking and different flours, and I'm gonna ask her if she has time to do a call for the podcast to talk about that. But I found out making the different pizza doughs that the OO flour, OOT flour, which is generally called an Italian flour, made a really good crust in 30 minutes. And the all-purpose flour was kind of like wah-wah, you know, just kind of like a Chicago-style pizza. Not to denigrate right. Chicago, but that thicker crust, which I'm not a big fan of. So
no, I want more good stuff and less crust.
So I was curious about my, basically Eric's brain was going from Garden Fork Scientist Tony to the science of baking flour and stuff. So maybe Noreen can enlighten us with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope so.
Are you starting any seeds, sir?
I've got my chard in and some, I'm thinking about getting the tomatoes started. It's a little bit early yet. I am going to try and experiment this year. You know, your mini greenhouses that you cover them in plastic, you set them out. This year, because every year I've tried squash and a lot of those things, and the bugs just kill me. I put out any kind of I put out like 10 or 15 cabbages, I think last year, or things in that family. And within 2 or 3 minutes, this single white butterfly comes flying up to them and starts laying eggs on them. And so I'm going to cover my greenhouse in a row cover.
Yes.
And use it as a row cover this year and see how that works. And see if I can't grow some of the, I can grow chard and a lot of the leafy greens. But any of the brachias, any of the squash-like products, I just can't grow. And I don't want to be spraying all the time. And so I'm not going to get down there. I'm glad you showed us how to get in there and dig around in a squash vine and dig out the borer and all that. But I'm not going to do that. And so we're going to see what happens. But, yeah, I've got some chard growing right now. Just put it in a few days ago. And it's on a heating mat. And we'll see how this goes.
Cabbage loopers really destroyed my kale last year.
See?
Erin from The Impatient Gardener has a YouTube channel, and she just put up a video about her growing rig, light growing rig, in her basement, which is looks like a rolling wire cart, like a restaurant you see in the restaurant refrigerators and stuff. But mm-hmm. she has several different lights on it, LED fluorescent lights, and she also did a companion blog post on her site, The Impatient Gardener, that I just read. I really like her writing. It really is her voice. I think it's very good.
Yeah, it's concise, and you know, it really explains well. And then you know, her photography is great, so you get to see what's going on. I really admired her her raised bed project, which must have cost $3,000 or $4,000, and I don't know what all of it. It was impressive, and then the deer fence she had to put around it. She did a great job. That is a garden for the ages, let me tell you.
And she did her soil test. She was on the show not too long ago talking about that. So we'll get Erin back on. I was raised in Wisconsin, so Erin and I kind of have a kindred love of Wisconsin there. You know, it's a great place.
Right.
Midwest in general is a good place.
Good place to be away from. Have you been reading about the snow up there?
Yeah, it's bad.
And Will Wallace and all of that. I need to get Will to explain. He put up he did that big basement remodel.
Yes.
And he has that barn door and slider thing inside. And it looks simple when you just look at it. But then you begin to wonder, how does it actually work? So I need to put up two. And, you know, how close to the ceiling does it have to be? What are the proportions? You know, things that you want to consider before you slap that thing up there. And then, you know, the door itself. You know, we're not going to use a barn door style barn door. We're going to use kind of a regular style because it's just going over closet doors. Right. But then how do you stop it from ballooning out every time you open or close a door? Yeah, and you know, do you cut a
little bracket to hold it snug against the wall, you mean?
Yeah, how does that work? You know, or is there a roller you put against the bottom to hold it against the wall? And just all the things that you don't think about that you can kind of make a mess of when you get to hammering on your own house. And I want to talk to him about that. Maybe we can have him on and talk about it sometime.
Sure. He's texting me as soon as he hears this. You know that.
Of course.
You know, I did see in the Blue Store an end cap display with the hardware and a door showing how that all worked. I don't remember it. I've never installed one. I've seen some videos about it. I've seen them in some houses. You can buy just the hardware and use your own door, or you can buy the door and hardware as a kit.
Right.
And I see that as a neat way to make your house look a little different. The thing, hanging doors on hinges is really hard in an old house like mine. I mean, it's 120 years old and nothing is square or plumb or straight, you know? So you hang the door and it's going to chafe against part of the trim, or it just doesn't, it's level, but the wall isn't. So it looks wrong, you know?
Right. Or it's the wall is not plumb. I've got that on one wall of my house. It leans in just a little bit at the top. And so it, you know, if I were going to put this door on it, I would have to stand it off maybe a half inch or more at the top so that it would roll smoothly across the front. Old houses, they're such a pain. I tried replacing doors in my old house just to update to a 6-panel, nice looking door. And I should have just replaced the frame and everything, get a pre-hung door and put it in there. I tried cutting mortises and hanging it and getting it level and all that stuff. Much more trouble than it was ever worth.
It's hard.
Yep.
Doors are hard. So the last thing, I was curious about an update on your new Prius, the one that's battery. You can charge the battery.
Right. It's you can get about 30. When it's warm, we noticed that you get a little more. You can get around 35 miles when it's warm, around 30 when it's cold outside. And it is doing wonderful. We seldom, if ever, hit the gas engine to turn it on. The battery, 30, 35 miles a day is really about, of course, we're not commuting anymore and that kind of thing. That's really will carry us through most of the time. We have bought maybe 2 tanks of gas and we're coming up on 5,000 miles.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. Tesla announced a hatchback, so I'm getting excited.
Yeah. I think the new Ford Bolt, B-O-L-T, not the Volt, V-O-L-T, is getting, what, 300 miles to a charge now? Yeah, this stuff is really coming, and I'm glad to see it. I like new things anyway and new toys. I'm actually rubbing my hands together as we talk about it.
I hear that.
Yeah. I'm a very active podcast person. Yeah. You know?
Good thing we don't have video of this.
Yeah, usually I'm knocking the microphone around.
They've heard that.
Yeah. The other thing that I've been watching on TV or on YouTube is making concrete countertops, and they can make them really nice.
Yep.
But you know, kind of a DIY project. But then I saw a guy who made concrete beds for growing.
Yeah, did you link to that on the Facebook group, maybe? Or
I don't think I have. Maybe I should.
I saw it somewhere.
Maybe I did that. But I thought, what a great idea. You know, wood, termites, all that stuff. You could, once you get it in place, and you can kind of cast it over there close to where you're going to do the bed, so you have to carry it everywhere. And he put an insert, a board insert into the side, so it had that indentation. It wasn't as heavy. But it had a kind of some decorative parts to it, and used wire, of course, concrete wire, yep. Reinforcing wire, and then had it so they actually interlocked. And I thought, how cool! You know, you can make a lot of beds that would last forever that way.
I'm curious about that, yeah, because you know I use the treated lumber, which I'm okay with. Of course, we have some videos about that, but. Right. Yeah, the cement would be forever.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Now, it makes it difficult to move your bed. I've got a neighbor that's constantly moving his beds around. He likes to do that for some reason. And that'd be tough to do with one of these. But if you've got a permanent place for your bed, you can just put it down. I think it'd be a great idea.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she who must be obeyed is signaling me. We have a task we have to do this afternoon. I need to get busy and get with her and give her a hand.
All right. Well, thanks, Rick. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will have improved audio as we figure out what's going on here. Comments, radio@gardenfork.tv. And make it a great day.
If you know anything about what's going on with the microphones and stuff here on Mac, pop a flare. I really need some help with it. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right. Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz of hollowbooks.com. And our music is licensed from uniquetracks.com.